When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming up on TMS, look at me. I'm the hot pot captain now.
Spice grandmas.
He speaks Kinglish.
Cocaine lamb.
It's all rocket surgery to me.
Kevin's main squeeze.
Chewable freaking heartburn things.
What does a worm even need?
You can use ice!
Pardon me, could I have a snort full of blow?
It was Fred Schneider what wrecked it.
Neither take hot pots nor leave hot pots.
Moist bait.
Washing out the Johnson stink with Bill.
Renouncing science with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Check out what happened when I put this fistful of goldfish crackers near the entrance of this huge ant nest.
Anyone else want to throw more weird shit at me?
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. The sugar and cream in your coffee. Aww.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Stream. Today is May 2nd. It's a Tuesday, and it's 2023. And we're here, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
We got this all in hand. We know what we're doing. We got it all worked out. It's me, Scott, and that's Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm all right. My voice won't fix. It's still weird.
Yeah, this is lasting a long time with you. I feel like my voice is close to normal.
Yeah, you sound pretty good to me. Sound pretty normal to me. I'm used to this happening when on these trips, but they usually take a day. It's like nothing usually.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's permanent. Maybe I...
Oh, you're going to sound like this forever.
Yeah, now's your time to get in these low registers if you guys need something way down
That's
here.
That's right. Who needs a little Barry White action?
Yeah.
Oh, too bad there's no more karaoke. You could do some...
Damn.
Can't get enough of your love, babe.
Maybe it was my Fred Schneider that wrecked it. I don't know.
Good day.
I thought about that. I've given that some thought, and I'll
give
it
some more
thought.
It's really like five sentences you sang in that song.
I know. I didn't do much, right? And I didn't do it that loud. It wasn't like I was... screaming or anything, so I have no idea. I don't know.
Why did you sit on the floor, by the way?
Oh, so I got confused. I didn't realize that was being projected behind us also. I thought the only place was there.
The only place to see the... Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, so I screwed that up. And when I stood up, I looked back and went, oh, it's on the back wall. Gosh dang it. No wonder she stood there and aimed the other way, because I couldn't figure out why she was doing that. It was so dumb. I mean, you got to remember, I'm as familiar with karaoke as I am with... I don't know, orthodontal surgery. Like,
Sure.
Yes. I don't know what I'm doing in there.
It's all rocket surgery to you.
Yeah, it's all rocket surgery to me. Anyway, we're glad to be here. Thank you all for being here. A big thank you to three individual human beings, namely Kevin, a.k.a. KT Data, Jamie, who is visiting here from the UK, and Noel, Kevin's... Is it nice to say main squeeze anymore? Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know.
That used to be... in high school, we would say that, right? That was a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Main squeeze. Partner.
Partner. All right. I like partner.
Rose Kitty here in the chat.
Yeah, Rose Kitty. They were all with us, and they took us out to a place last night called... I forgot the name. Dang it. Japanese Hot Pot Place.
Oh, my God. I saw the description on this. Kevin was telling me about it. It is a mix of hot pot, all-you-can-eat sushi, and barbecue, Japanese barbecue.
It's fantastic. Ginza. Ginza.
I would have, you know, hearing that description, I might have considered driving 10 hours to
Well, you would have spent the 10 hours driving back with a case of heartburn and maybe the hot farts. I don't know.
Probably, yeah. Well, probably would have put me to sleep, really.
It did me, too. I kind of had a food coma after, but it was so freaking good. Averaged out to be, wasn't too bad either. It was like $50 a person. It was tons
That's
of food.
That's not bad at all. Yeah,
it wasn't bad. And I'll go back there in a heartbeat. It was so freaking good. Mm-hmm. But I overdid it. And I know I overdid it because at the time I knew I overdid it. I was eating it going, yeah, I'm overdoing it right now. I'm doing this and I'm overdoing it.
Yeah.
And then I got home and I was like, oh, I'm a little heartburning, but I'm fine. Go to sleep. I woke up every, I don't know, 30 minutes going, oh, heartburn. I got one of those chewable freaking heartburn things and go back to bed. And then I need another one. And I was just a grumpy. I was like a commercial just waiting to get made for Tums last night.
Right. Yeah. You were waiting for that cutaway image of your belly with the Tums coating the inside of your stomach and hopefully relieving the red lava that's being shown in your stomach.
Exactly. Basically. That hot red light down there in the center. And I never really got much relief. Feel better this morning, but It was worth every second of the pain. It was so good, Brian. So freaking good. And everybody that worked there, owned the place, everything else, like Japanese people who spoke terrible English. That's how you know to trust a place like this. Because you know it's real, man. You know you're going to get the real deal.
Yeah,
it's not just some white guy's idea of what a hot pot place should be.
No, that seems like the real deal. And so with hot pot, so it's obviously it's the, you've got the burner with the, the broth being cooked on it, constantly kept hot. And do they just keep bringing you more meat and more? Because it's all you can eat hot pot, or is it fixed
both.
Amount hot pot?
And so it was all we could eat, although they would basically do it in shifts. So it was like, you know, we're out of this.
A few things. We're not going to bring everything to you because we know you're not going to eat all of it.
Exactly. Kind of But they would have kept going as long as we needed them to. But we were good. And we had a ton of sushi as well, which is super filling, and a bunch of different rolls. Katie Data picked out this thing called the executive roll, which I don't think I've had before. Okay. That was fantastic. This weird mango thing. That was weird.
Mm.
I don't know if I'll eat that again because it was a little too... It's a weird mango-y. Combo. Yeah, mango-y. Yeah. I'm not a big mango guy.
Yeah, me neither.
But anyway, it was great. And the best part is this. So we're sitting at this big, long table. Carter was with us. So it was Carter, me, Kim. And on the other side of the table, you had Jamie across from Carter. You had Rose Kitty across from me, Noelle, and then next to him, or to her, Kevin. And Kevin and Cameron are across from each other. So there were three big pots in front of each of us. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we're each are putting stuff in, pulling things out. Here's what's great about having Rose Kitty across from you. I didn't really have to do a damn thing. Because she's really good at like timing when to put new stuff on the little grill and on the pot and all this. So it was always just me reaching up and grabbing new things out of it to eat, and her just very, you know, nonchalantly making sure there's plenty there every time anybody needs anything.
Now, did she get anything out of the pot, or was it just her loading the pot and you emptying the pot?
Well, I worried about that a little bit, but no, she seemed to get plenty. But I tried to, you know, some cabbage and bok choy and some other green things. I attempted to do that, but it was mostly I overdosed on meat is what I did.
OD meat.
Yeah, I highly recommend it though, everybody, if you want to check it out. It's in Union Square. Union Square here.
I'll be out there shortly. Save a place, or let me make a reservation.
All right.
Vinyl Revivalist asked, I think a minute ago, has Brian ever been out to see Scott in Salt Lake City?
Oh yeah.
Now, if you don't count, obviously, you know, the Nerdtaculars, of course, right? But there were a couple times that I came out that weren't at Nerdtacular. There was one time I came out, I stayed with, oh my gosh, why can't I remember their names?
Oh, Corinne and Jason.
Corinne and Jason, thank you. Jeez Louise, brain fart there.
Yeah.
Stayed with them and we were checking out, I think it was to check out Snowbird the first time.
Before 2013, the first, early 2013 to do like a tour of the place and kind of get an idea of what things were like, yeah. That's absolutely right. Oh, and you—that was your lactose intolerant trip. Remember that?
Again, it's like the one thing that you remember from that is me leaving the area is like, okay, I'm going to go, I got to go fart over like on the other side of the room because of that. Had too much latte, too much milk in my latte.
Yeah, I could. I don't know why that sticks out. I mean, I guess we're seeing a pattern here, but things stick out in my memory. Yeah. But anyway, you know, that was a fun little trip. And then in 2011, yeah. And that's when we first met Kevin, I think the first time. He was there filming.
Oh, he was there actually at the, right. No kidding. Holy mackerel.
I think he was still a teenager technically then. I think he was like 19.
He might have been
18, 19 or something. Anyway, yeah. But have I been to Denver? No,
no, never. And you even have family here that you could come visit.
100%. My aunt and all my cousins are all out there. I could easily make an excuse to go to Denver. And I've been to Denver a bunch of times, but all prior to meeting you.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what that's about.
Clearly, you don't like either, I guess it's a combination of not liking me enough or your family enough that lives out here to come make a.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't really have a good excuse, honestly. I mean, part of it is.
Claire says, I'll visit Denver before Scott. I bet you will.
The one memory I always have of going to Denver, if you fly to Denver, is there is this massive drop over the mountain.
Yes. Yeah.
So you fly over and then you go, wah. And the plane.
It's not so bad anymore. They don't. I haven't had a flight do that in like the last 10 years.
Actually. Oh, good. All right. Well, see, it's been that long for me, so I don't know.
I don't know which airline you flew in on, but no, there. You know where it's really bad. Long Beach? There's one where it is like that, where basically you're flying and then. Oh, no, Long Beach. The problem with Long Beach is the runway ends at the ocean.
Oh, right.
So it's
right.
Basically land. Yeah. Screech to a stop.
Yeah,
it's kind
immediate.
Of the same way when you're taking off. It's like you're taking off and it's like, oh crap, we're running out of runway.
Yeah, and they really hit the brakes on that runway.
Yeah.
I've landed there a few times, you're right. Yeah, I don't like the ones where they gotta make a sudden thing just because of positioning or whatever, but hey, it's the world we live in.
It's the world we live in.
Anyway, thanks, Kevin. And Jamie, can I just say, Jamie, as an ambassador of all things London and the UK, what a nice dude he is.
He really is.
Nicest guy ever. He didn't wear those cool shorts last night, but that's fine. It's totally fine. He's going to Parks.
Oh, those were snug, those shorts he wore in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they keep it all in. And he's going to Park City today, so I'm a little jealous. It's really nice up there right now. He's going to do some more hiking and stuff. And I just think the world of that dude. So wish him nothing but fun while he's here, and then a safe trip home back to the United Kingdom. Also, he has the coolest job. I won't get into what it is because it sounds kind of top secret-y, but he does some really weird, cool shit for a living.
Really?
So if anyone ever gets a time to just hang out with Jamie and talk about what he does, like most people are like, what do you do? And you're like, well, I push button A to make B happen. It's boring, right? Not that guy. He's like talking at, I don't know who he's talking. It's like Ethan Hunt levels of of cool. He's okay, got a really cool
that is
job.
Very cool. Scaling the sides of a building cool.
Yeah. And he also makes me feel like a dumb American because he's so articulate and very British and he's very like articulate and says everything perfectly. And I'm sort of over there going, well, that's real good. Why don't you tell me more of the shit you say, right there, fancy boy? Anyway,
he speaks the King's English. Scott.
Yes, the Kingling. I like the Kingling.
The Kingling's English.
We got a couple things here to rip through that are from listeners. We like listener feedback, you know, here on the show. Mm-hmm. It's a thing we're into. And we got one from M. Bader Steve. That's what it says. Just reading it the way
is M master? I don't know.
I mean, you know, you have to ask. You have to ask.
Would assume.
Yeah. We're not here to assume anything, but we'll assume this. Anyway, this is on the topic of odd vending machines. We talked about the one that gave you bear meat. This is a while ago, so you have to shake our memories around to remember what
That's
we
right.
did.
Yep.
He says, dear Sinker and Bobber, you float and I sink. That's interesting.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't think that's actually going to be true, though.
Well, I thought we all float down here.
Yeah. He says, the strangest vending machine I've ever seen was for live bait. Seen outside of a bait shop in Annapolis. Mm. So maybe not so strange. Love the show, though. M. Bader Steve. live bait. So how do you keep that fresh, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, worms, what do they need? Just a cool, dry, dark place, really?
What does a worm even need? That's a great question.
What does a worm need? Right? I mean, come on. I imagine it's... you know, they just basically keep it cool in there, keep some nice moist soil in little containers, and I don't know what else. What are the kinds of live bait?
Chad says it's common. I mean, I guess worms can, is, you're right, probably moist soil and your worm is good probably for like weeks. I
just
don't know.
Little containers and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that seems fine. I mean, we used to, when I fished as a youngster, I don't really fish now, but when I fished a lot when I was a kid, we would just go find worms. We did it the hard way. Never bought worms. Got to find worms. And we knew where to find them. Now, find them in the neighbor's yard where the roses were, and there was always worms in there. So we'd do that.
My Hungarian grandfather had a, because he would go fishing almost every weekend, every Saturday morning, and I'd go with him, and it'd be the most boring thing ever. So it's like I'd always figure out some way to get out of it.
Yeah.
But he, on Friday nights, when it got dark, he would go into the garage. He'd get out this metal rod that was attached to a an electrical plug.
Yeah.
He'd jam the rod into the ground, plug it into the wall, and the worms would just come out of the ground. Like it was electrifying the soil, and the worms would be like, oh, this sucks, I'm getting out.
Yeah.
And then they'd just go around and go, ploink, 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 ploink.
See, and, that's the way. That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. And every once in a while, you know, if I asked him, he would take the metal wand and he'd tap it on the, we had this metal, clothes hanger, like the clothes lines in the back, and he'd tap it on there, and it would go bzzz, like a little lightsaber looking thing.
Oh man, your
sparks!
Your grandpa was cool.
He was cool. He was the greatest. Yeah,
some Hungarian business right there is what that is.
That's right, exactly.
Andy wrote in. These are all texts, by the way. So send us your text 801-471-0462. Andy says, "Hey Scott and Brian, Andy here. So America will call its football by the name Bladderball."
Bladder ball.
He says because it's shaped like a pig's bladder. I didn't know that. Is it?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Is a pig's bladder football shaped is more the question?
Well, he says here that, I mean, he drops this line, which is what the first footballs were made of. Now, I know they were called pigskins. I didn't know it had anything to do with their bladders.
I didn't know that either. I guess we need to go watch Leatherhead starring George Clooney at some point.
Ah, the classic George Clooney film, Leatherhead. Or is that a TV show? I don't remember.
It was a movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, good for him.
I just remember it was like, you know, him wearing the leather helmet.
Helmet. I don't think I've ever seen that.
I've never seen it either.
I wonder if it's good. I like him. I feel like I haven't seen a lot of Clooney lately, so I could be convinced.
I did watch Ocean's 11 on the flight back from Vegas only because I talked so much about it during my Film Sack bonus episode and watched a few clips just to refresh my memory on it. I was like, I just want to watch it again. And freaking, you know, young Andy Garcia, young George Clooney, Brad Pitt eating in every scene for some reason, Don Cheadle. I mean, such a great, great cast.
Yeah.
It was free on Southwest. So I was like, yeah, I'll just do this and then I can sleep.
Got that tiny Asian guy in the box. That guy's cool.
The scene where he like slides back first into the box, like into this little container, like they basically open the lid. He sits on the side and then goes, fold like a freaking taco.
Yeah. It's one of the great moments in heist cinema history.
It really is. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Ocean's 11's great. That's a great movie.
And really, Matt Damon F's everything up for everybody, right? Because it was, you know, he leaves the van when he's not supposed to leave the van. It causes the Asian guy's hand to get slammed in the van door, screws things up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any wonder he bought a zoo and shouldn't have? You know?
And then ate shit potatoes on Mars. Yeah.
Yeah, and then fertilized potatoes with his own poo-poo. No good.
That's right. That's right. Too bad Ocean's 12 sucked so hard.
Oh, it was bad. 12 was bad. 13 was great. 13 brought 13 it back.
13 was great. 11 and 13, fantastic.
What happened there with 12? What happened?
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what happened with 12. It was one moment that just basically said, nope, I'm out of this movie. It completely ruined the movie for me.
What was it?
The fact that the main characters all go to jail. And they're stuck there. And Julia Roberts, Tess, is out of jail, right? She's like, oh, no, she's the only one who can help us.
Yeah.
And so someone points out that she looks a lot like Julia Roberts. And she uses that to, like, con Bruce Willis into, like, this whole fiasco. It's like, oh, so wait, Tess looks just like Julia Roberts, but Danny Ocean doesn't look just like George Clooney and
Brad Pitt doesn't look like Brad that's Pitt.
Exactly. It's like it took me out of the movie so quickly. It's like, oh, I'm done with this.
That's some fourth wall bull crap there.
It broke the biggest rule of cinema, is that your characters can't all of a sudden get a leg up because they happen to look like the actors that are playing those characters.
Man, I can't think of a single movie that director made that I didn't like except for that movie.
Soderbergh was great.
Name another film he made that's not at least better than good. And they're all good. This is not good. It's so
Burn After Reading.
Wait, was that him? Burn After Reading?
I don't know if that was him. Actually, that was the Coen. Was that Coen Brothers?
That was Coen Brothers. That's not one of their strongest.
Which is also not one of their best.
No. But it's got Brad Pitt, and I don't think he eats anything in it, though.
That was the other problem is that he didn't. Let's see. Because he did. Wait a minute. He did. Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Obviously, first thing I remember seeing of his, which might have actually just been the first thing he did.
Yeah.
But he did that Kimmy movie that I watched, and recommended last year, which was not Zoe Kravitz, Zazie Beetz.
Oh, Zazie Beetz, yeah.
As a agoraphobe, mm-hmm. who is loving the fact that the pandemic is locking people in, and so she has the job of listening into everybody's Alexas and saying whether or not that they got their thing right.
Yeah.
And then she overhears a murder, and she has to like leave the safety of her house to get out and do it.
Yeah, I heard that was great. You recommended
it. It was good. I recommended it. It's on HBO Max. Go watch it.
It's on my list. I'd
forgotten that was a Soderbergh deal.
Yeah, and I really, there's very few things I didn't like. I liked Contagion back in the day. I really liked
Lucky.
That was great. Michael Clayton was really
hilarious.
Good.
Traffic. The Limey is
a really good movie. Yeah, great one.
Yeah.
So he's great. Solaris. Mm-hmm. I love Solaris. I know it's kind of, mm-hmm. some people are off and on that, but I really like Solaris a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know a movie he made that was garbage, except for 12. Nice job.
Yeah, except for Ocean's 12.
And that episode he directed
One rule, Steven. You broke one rule, and
He did one episode of Grey's Anatomy that wasn't very good. I'll say that. But that's not his fault. Grey's Anatomy sucks.
I know. I was going to say I didn't.
Yep.
I never watched a single episode.
You heard me, people. I said it sucks. So send your emails. You know what to do. You know what's
there
next.
You go.
Here is a final note here. Oh, it's a call.
Let's hear it.
About things that you would just take a sudden road trip for. I thought it was like appropriate given our Vegas recentness and all that.
Cool.
So I'm going to play it. Here it is. Check it out.
Hey, this is one Sleepy Panda calling for TMS. Given the opportunity to go to a hockey game up in New Jersey tonight for the playoffs, and live in Virginia, so I am driving 14 hours between 2 days to go to a hockey game. So what's something you guys would take 2 days off work and just drive 14 hours for? Love the show.
All right.
Ooh,
give me a good one.
That's a great question.
Yeah, I love it.
A Spice Girls concert. I would totally, if like Spice Girls were, touring again, minus Victoria, and they
I mean, would it be a problem if she was there, or you just don't?
No, it wouldn't be a problem if she was there.
All right.
But I think she was the holdout, I think, for them touring, and I'm like, just do it without her, it's totally fine. And let's say they were playing in Vegas and I got tickets, I would absolutely drive alone in the car to Vegas to get to see the Spice Girls.
And that is that's a long drive for you.
It's 10 hours for me.
Ten, 11, maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now that we got all these stretches of 80 miles per hour, which didn't exist when you and I were growing up.
No, that's true.
There was a reason Sammy Hagar could not drive 55 because, you know, back in the day, it was slow. It was bad.
So Uncle George and a guy named Don and I took a road trip out to Vegas for a trivia thing, like competition. It was Geek Bowl or whatever. And we were driving my car, but we were taking turns, and Don was behind the wheel. And we had just entered into Utah and saw it was all of a sudden 80 miles an hour. Because mm-hmm. We came out of the mountains, and it's like, oh, look at that, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Don goes a little bit over, maybe too much over. He goes, I think he's going 87 or 88 miles an hour.
Right.
Boo, woo, woo. we got pulled over. This was outside. I think this was outside of St. George, because I remember him having a big problem with St. George because of it. And the guy says, "You guys come in from Colorado and 80 miles an hour isn't enough for you."
Yeah. That's great. I love it. Yeah. That sounds like a movie scene. I love it.
So he had to drive back there and do the court thing for
really?
St. George.
Oh,
yeah.
That sucks.
Because he wanted to fight it.
They have an airport now. You could fly there now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Used to have not one there. That's great. I love that story. Yeah, it's kind of liberating, because when we were kids, a trip to Vegas meant 8 hours for us, because 55 was the best you could do. And yeah, that was just the speed limit. And cars in this, let's just admit it, cars in the 70s and 80s kind of rattled apart if you went faster than that. They weren't great. So now that you can go 80, like what does Sammy Hagar just sit around sometimes and go, "I wish I could change my song"?
He could. He could totally update the lyrics. Look at Elton John, you know, updating "Candle in the Wind" for whoever just recently died. He can just keep updating that one song.
Somebody go down to Cabo. Find him in Cabo and say, "Look, Sammy, do it. Now's your time."
Let me address Daniel DeLuca in the chat, who says, "Strange and creepy for an old guy to drive 10 hours for Spice Girls." Daniel, guess what? They're old too. Okay. Yeah. It's not like I'm going to see, BTS. Well, not BTS, you can't even use as a good example. Japanese teenage girl group, AQ24 or whatever they're called. Yeah. ABQ24. I'm not Pink, driving 10 hours to see them.
Blackpink or someone like that.
Right, exactly.
They're the hot ones. Exactly. Yeah, no, they. I know there's a feeling that people in music and Hollywood never age while you age, but those girls in Spice Girls, and I put girls
spice
in quotes,
ladies now.
They're not only Spice Ladies, they're Spice Ladies that are Brian and I's age.
Exactly.
We're as old as they are. Like, we could marry them and no one would blink an eye. Because of the same age as us.
And I wouldn't be going there to marry him. I'd be going there to see their music, because I like their music unabashedly, unapologetically. Love this.
Yeah, I don't know how that would make you a creepy old guy. Now, if you said to me, I'm going to go watch.
I'm going to go to, I'm driving to Hollywood because I hear Kate and Ashley Olsen are going to be at a book signing at the Barnes & Noble.
Aren't they? And even them, they're in their 40s or something.
They're in
their
40s. I know. I can't think of a good example.
Yeah. You'd have to say, okay, I'm going down to local high school to watch the cheerleaders work. Like, that would be weird.
that would be, yes, I'll take that.
Yeah, don't be doing that. Okay, she was born in 86, so that makes her 36, so she's not quite there, but still.
Look who came to visit.
Oh, it's a kitty.
I hear you had a kitty throw up, Scott.
Yeah.
So sorry to hear that.
You know how she heard? Because all the cats communicate. They all know.
They do. All telepathically.
Bastards. All of them. Yeah. I do miss having a cat that likes me, because I would like Deckard if he liked me. He doesn't like me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Tina and Anaria there. She doesn't like Tina.
No, doesn't like Tina, but then Tina's got Salem. Salem follows Tina around like she is mama cat.
Yeah, that's how it should be. So, it's the way of it.
Exactly.
This is the proper human to cat ratio is exactly how it's supposed to be. That we don't want it the other way where Tina's following that cat around. That'd be bad. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I don't know what I would take 4 days off for. Probably COVID.
It's not a matter of taking 4 days off. It's a road trip. What would you?
Oh, right. What would I drop?
For?
Yeah, what would I drop everything
four
for?
4 days off. For? Is there a video game release or something like?
Oh gosh, I can't think of a concert I'd do it for. I might do it for. Okay, here's one. If
you
Chuck,
have tickets to the world premiere of the Furiosa movie in Hollywood,
I'd do that. Yeah.
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 There you go.
If someone said that and I didn't fly, I would totally drive that. Yeah. That's about 10, 12 hours. Would I do that though? All right, let's say, okay, my nephew, Chuck, made that song with Deadmau5 on their new album. Powder Blue. It's very good. Check it out on their newest album, the Cascade combo thing. Yeah. It's really good. Anyway, if he said, "Hey, we're doing a thing 14 hours away and it's like, it's going to take you that plus 4 days, but we're going to be live and you get to have good seats or whatever," I'd do that. Mm-hmm. I'd do that.
Okay. There you go.
Because, you know, good, whenever it's family, when you're here, it's your family, right? You have family.
good example. Yes.
Oh, man, I'm so burpy from food last night. Gosh dang it, Kevin.
Burping up some hot pot.
Yep. You want some hot pot? I got second day hot pot for you right here. then finally...
Used hot pot air.
Finally, I got a butt dial that was sounded like this. Check out this weird noise. Okay, now at first, it sounds like some robot-y voice, this part. It almost sounds like, right, we like want voice, Carl or something like that.
I think Claire might have called you.
Yeah. You think my voice is after? You should hear that girl.
That sounds like an airplane. Like, could that be Bobby calling from the plane or something?
Well, I heard, so I got, it's Twitter or somewhere, somebody reached out and said, hey, if you get a couple of butt dial calls that sound like someone's mowing a lawn, that was me.
Okay.
That's totally what it is. He's out doing weeding or something. And
Maybe a weed whacker, because it doesn't sound, it sounds like if it's a, I guess it could be an electric mower. It doesn't have the like the, you know, the full throatiness of a lawnmower. It's a little bit higher, higher in the tweeter.
Exactly. This is, and he said, the call I got was like 4.5 minutes long, so that's only 7 seconds of a very long call of nothing but that sound. But at first, it was very alien, like, we want Carl.
Does sound like a weird robot alien voice.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't have Carl. What are you talking about? I am no keeper of Carls. All right. That's all we got for this morning. Until we do the news, let's do the news, and the news is right here. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
A brand new episode of Soundography hit the site today. Why? Because I pushed it, and it landed on the site. That new episode is all about Stevie Wonder. Hammond and I listened to the entire catalog of Stevie Wonder music, and there is a lot, all the way from his early beginnings as little Stevie Wonder to that damn song I just called to say I love you.
That one.
But there's a lot of great stuff in between. Find out what we thought by listening to Soundography at soundography.com.
I'll bet you liked it. He's great.
I liked a lot of it. Yeah, there was a jump the shark moment, but I think he jumped back over the shark after it.
Oh, okay. I'll have to listen to find out what that was.
Yes.
Has Stevie Wonder and Stevie Nicks ever done a duet? Has that ever happened? Like,
no,
the two
you
Stevies?
Think they would, right? Like Stevie and Stevie together again.
Yeah. They call it Stevia and make a whole record. Ebony and Lace. That's perfect.
There you go. Instead of Leather and Lace and Ebony and Ivory, we'll just take two of their duets and merge them together.
Perfect. Love it. Greg, everyone in the chat thinks that sounded like a massager, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was my Claire point, is that Claire must have called you.
Oh, I thought you just meant her voice sounded like that.
No,
now I get it.
No.
Now I
get
it.
Yes.
All right, now I'm going to listen to it with that knowledge. Hold on. Here we go. Oh, I'm really sad that I know this now. I don't want to think about it.
Well, there you go.
See, that would be creepy old man if I wanted to know more, but I don't. I really don't.
Pixar, it didn't happen.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this first news story. A lamb, you know, like lamb.
Yeah, as in the silence of the.
Yeah, exactly. Or you eat some lamb, you know.
Yeah, that or sort of chops. Thing.
Yeah.
Or,
oh, yeah, chops. Yeah. Or what else? Lamb.
Good
lamb and
shank.
Shank. That's all I got. I don't have anything else.
Okay. That's a lot of lamb right there.
That is a lot of lamb. Let's see. A lamb, a live one, was found in a car next to 10,000 pounds, UK, sterling, of heroin and cocaine in a bag of chips.
All that in a bag of chips.
All that in a bag of chips. Yep.
Crisps.
Crisps.
Or was it actually chips?
Yeah, well, that's a really great point, because it could have been fries, right?
Were there sliced potatoes? Yeah, exactly.
Let's find out. This is the Edinburgh News, so it might be that those were French fries. We'll find out as we read.
Might be, yeah.
A lamb has been found in a back of a car alongside roughly 10 grand worth of Class A drugs. This was on a Saturday evening. A police dog named Billy sniffed out the drugs. And the lamb, who was seen pictured next to a bag of chips. So I think there's a photo here.
There is a photo, and it's great.
Yeah, let's pull this up. So check.
Oh, my God, it's fantastic. Because he's in the middle of going, hey!
Oh, yeah. Look at him, yeah. Just going, bah! Bah!
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
I didn't bring the cocaine. It's not mine. It says here, police colleague shared the incident via social media. According to police in Scotland, two men, age 52 and 53, could be Tom Merritt and one of us, and one woman, age 38, aren't they always, were arrested and charged with drug offenses. And a search of the car was carried out with the assistance from a dog unit. I wonder if the dog unit is trained well enough not to freak out because there's a lamb in there. You know,
maybe. Yeah.
Because my dog would lose their shit over this lamb.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that would not go well.
No, the lamb would be would be chased. Maybe they're looking for Mary. Mary had a little lamb, a little coke, a little heroin.
Mm-hmm. It's coke as white as snow. Mary had a little lamb. It's coke as white as snow.
Oh, see, there we go. And everywhere that Mary went, she'd have a snort of blow.
There, see, perfect.
It writes itself, doesn't it?
How do we get the chips in there, though? shoot. So it's hard to get the chips in.
And after eating some potato chips, she'd do a snort of blow.
There you go. Nailed it. All right. But look, come to us when you need your
snort of blow. I'm sure I'm using those drug references correctly, kids.
Yeah. Snort of blow? I guess they'd say
pardon me, could I have a snort of blow?
Would they say hit? What do you say in drug culture?
Oh yeah, probably a hit of blow, or can I have a snuff. Snoot full of blow.
A snoot of blow. Oh, my Lord. That's like the 40s, right?
Yeah, it's really. Can I have a snoot full of blow now?
Give me a snoot of your cocaine, see? Back when it was legal. Anyway, the lamb was is fine. And we don't know why he was in there, but he's okay. Well done, Scotland.
Yeah, bump. There we go. Yeah, bump of blow.
Oh, a bump. Yeah, a bump.
It has to be something of blow to rhyme with snow, you see. Yeah. As we've mentioned the cocaine. And
yeah. I don't have any. I don't know this drug stuff very well. I heard one in Vegas that was new to me.
You've done more than me.
Well, that's true. I don't.
Actually, no, I don't know if you have.
Well, okay. I assume. Maybe. I've never smoked pot in my life, but I had these gummies.
Yes.
And I assume it's a similar sensation, right? I don't know. I've never smoked pot, so I have no idea.
You know, I've never had a gummy, but I have smoked once.
Yeah.
And then I did some other things that I've mentioned on previous shows that I'm not going to mention again.
Yeah, Brian, he's got the stories.
Yes, yes. Let's just say it was something you get on a pizza with everything.
Yeah, got a little bit of the old Miami Vice history there going on.
And then the shortened one-letter abbreviation for the Entertainment Television Network.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, what's the next story, Scott? Well,
let's move on to this one. This is a place that might have all those things you mentioned.
Oh, I bet it is, yes.
A celebrity cruise ship kept corpses, or a corpse, in a drink cooler, according to a lawsuit.
Mm.
Yeah, and this happened last summer, which made me nervous, but mine was last fall, so we're okay. last summer, after an elderly passenger died of a heart condition during a celebrity cruise vacation to the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, depending on your proclivities therein.
The cruise depends line, on if I'm on the ride or not, because I never say Pirates of the Caribbean. You don't go to Disneyland to ride Pirates of the Caribbean. It's always Pirates of the Caribbean.
No. If someone ever says that, they're getting punched in the face. That's just how
and then
it
I'm going to ride the Matterhorn.
Yeah, the Matterhorn. I love that. I love that because Canadians do this. They say Mario instead of Mario.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Even though Mario himself says Mario all the time, they say
exactly.
Mario.
It's me, Mario.
Yeah, never once did he go, oh, it's me, Mario.
Are you going to finish that poutine, eh?
Poutine loving Mario. I love that.
That's right.
Anyway, so this person dies, and the cruise line allegedly advised his wife of two options. Allow her husband's remains to be removed from the ship in nearby Puerto Rico, where she would have to stay alone for days pending a possible autopsy, or leave his body within the ship's morgue until the vessel arrived back in the United States. Sure. And hoping to return that way. You would go that one, right?
Totally go that route. Yes.
Yeah, I would. Like, it's like, no, put Kim on ice. We're good.
Right. Yeah.
We'll get home.
Put her on ice, folks.
Yeah, put her on ice. We'll get home. We'll roll her out of the thing. It's better. Do that, right? That's what I would do. So in hopes of returning to her family as soon as possible, the woman, age 78, chose the latter, like we all would, trusting that the ship would safely transport her husband of 55 years. Oh, geez. Oh, no, they were married for 55 years. He wasn't 55 years old.
Oh, yeah, no, husband of 55 years.
Yeah, that's that sentence could go either way. Anyway, to their home state of Florida to be prepared for funeral services. 6 grueling days at sea passed as the Celebrity Equinox changed back to its port, or chugged back to its port of Fort Lauderdale, where the ship arrived on August 21st, 2022, which is about the week I left for mine, so I'm safe.
No kidding. But you also didn't go on a celebrity cruise.
Nor did I go to the Caribbean. I didn't go there.
Right. Yeah. This. Although, if you would have asked me with this headline, I probably would have said, oh, it's probably a Carnival. Probably Carnival Cruise Line.
I always feel that way when there's something weird on a cruise ship. It's always Carnival. Yeah. Let's see. So they got there. They went to retrieve the body, but it was nowhere to be found in the morgue. Instead, according to the lawsuit, the corpse was located in a pallet on the floor of the beverage cooler unit thing they have in these ships, left to turn green and deteriorate in the advanced state of decay after the onboard morgue went out of order.
Oh, see, that's what I was wondering, because ships have morgues. People die on cruise ships, and they actually have to have one of those little slidey drawer, I assume one of those slidey drawer refrigeration, put the bodies in here kind of situations.
Yeah.
But that's
awful.
Deteriorated to advanced state of decay. Is the drink cooler on?
Yeah.
Like, did they actually cool the cooler?
Yeah, I'm all worried about the drinks now, a little bit, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If the drinks can't be cold, what are we even doing on this stupid cruise?
Exactly. Yeah, they can put everything on ice. That's fine.
She says she's mad because they stripped him of his dignity in the sacred time after his passing, according to the lawsuit. The ideas and mental fatigues that will surely never leave the memory of the plaintiffs. I think, you know what? I think this is a good suit. Go ahead and sue him.
I'm so sad. I can barely eat this midnight crab buffet.
Yeah,
I'm so melancholy.
Oh, my Lord. These poor people. All right. Let's go to this one.
Okay.
Oh, this is a weird one.
Oh, God.
I hesitated on this, but I went for it anyway. A man woke up to find his dog had chewed his toe to the bone.
Chewed.
How do you not wake up?
The bone.
I would have woken up sooner. That's why this headline alone was enough to make me scratch my head and go, what are you on, dude?
Yeah, no kidding. What was exactly? I think that's it. Either a lot of drink or a lot of smoke. And
turns out it's something entirely different. I'll tell you how it worked. The retired builder has told how he woke up in horror to find his pet puppy had chewed his big toe to the bone. This is according to David Lindsay, age 64. He was startled by his wife's scream as he lay asleep on the sofa in their home to find his right big toe was covered in blood. The bone in his toe had been fractured by his 7-month-old bulldog puppy, Harley. Aww. Harley's cute, though. It's a cute name.
It's a cute name. And you know that bulldog, the bulldog went, was chewing on with the front of his mouth, and then he went around the side of his mouth, the big molars, like to really go in on that knuckle.
And he was slobbering all over it. Nasty. He says they have no problem. They don't plan on getting rid of the puppy because they love him. But anyway, they said they actually say that he inadvertently saved his life. He suffers from diabetes and was asleep on the couch. My wife walked in and shouted, "Dave, the puppy's chewing on your toe." Anyway, the reason that's a thing is if you are an advanced level, like hardcore diabetic, your feet go numb.
Yeah, he had basically lost the feeling in his feet due to 2 blocked arteries in his legs.
Yeah,
from diabetes. Holy mackerel!
Probably a big.
Well, good,
thing.
Good for Harley.
Yeah, good for Harley. Go chew that toe. I wonder if the toe chewing was just that. Like a dogs are weird about when they know something's wrong.
Dogs can. I think didn't we do an article once about that? They found that dogs can actually smell cancer or smell
right. They can be trained to pick it out.
I know cancer is very different from diabetes, but I don't know. This one feels like coincidence as opposed to the dog saying, "Oh, his arteries are blocked. I'm going to chew on his toe so that he has to go to the hospital so that they find it."
They can also tell when, at least my own limited experience is that when I feel really awful for some reason, when I had COVID or if I'm sick or something's wrong, my dogs know. And they'll curl up on me and they'll be way sweet and they'll treat me differently when I'm sick or down or something than they do normally.
For sure.
So it wouldn't surprise me. And also given the fact that nose is like the olfactory giant freaking organ of hell that it is, it can smell anything from a mile away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like why we should.
I don't think you can smell blocked arteries though.
Yeah. That's a good point. How you can smell that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is
a
block?
This, like you said, I think this was a coincidence, but I do think that they're, like you said, when dogs know when you're not feeling well and they hang out with you and be like, oh, let me make you feel better.
Yeah.
But this isn't like a, oh no, blocked arteries. I'm going to eat your toast, so you have to go to the hospital.
Yeah. To me, yeah. Also, man, as someone with borderline pre-diabetes in my family, and I'm at that point right now with my blood tests. That's why I'm off the sug.
Yep.
I should be fine, because usually if you just keep that in check, you can be 90, be fine.
Exactly. You just stay on the...
Yeah, you're always just kind of borderline or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just cannot imagine anything worse than having to get your feet cut off. It just sounds awful.
No, sounds horrible. Yeah. It
sounds really awful to me. Anyway, hats off to diabetics, everybody. Hope you're all doing okay. One final story here. A 70-year-old man has fended off a cougar attack with a rock right here in Utah.
Utah connection!
Yep, we're proud of this one, sort of. A 70-year-old man, lots of old people in today's thing, fended off a cougar attack with a rock.
Okay.
According to Utah Park authorities. The Utah Division of Wildlife Resources said it was contacted by the Utah County Sheriff's Office Thursday night about the elderly man from Spanish Fork, south of me, injured in a cougar attack in Diamond Fork Canyon. Beautiful canyon. Recommended if you're that way. The unidentified man told authorities he was hiking through some trees when a cougar jumped up and knocked him to the ground. I skipped past it. There we go. The man then grabbed a rock, threw it at the lion before the animal left the area. The man was able to get back in his vehicle and drive away, ended up at a local hospital and received treatments for lacerations.
Wow. So he really got, he did get enough of an attack that cougar was coming back for more.
Yeah. I mean, getting pushed to the ground with those big old paws and stuff, that'd scare the living crap out of me.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Good for him having the wherewithal to huck a rock at it.
Let's see. The conservation officers went to the scene of the accident, retrieved the man's cell phone. They unsuccessfully tried to find the cougar, although they put the instead of they, so they didn't check their thing. They spotted some of the animal's tracks and probably some of its droppings.
Probably some little trail of blood.
Yeah, scat as well. He's good. He's all okay now and everything's fine. But this is not the first time here recently. We've had a bunch of cougar attacks in the last year or so, and they're up for some reason. I think it's probably they're coming down lower for food or something because there was so much snow this year, and I don't know. I could be wrong on why, but...
And there's across the country, animals like that are getting a little bit more brave, or while food is scarce, they'll venture further and further into town. We've had more... appearances, more visits from animals like that in the past couple of years than we ever had before that.
Yeah, which is weird, but it makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. They were here first, to be honest.
They were here first, really. We encroached on their space, yes.
So we shouldn't just kill them. We will, but we shouldn't.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we really shouldn't. All right, there is your news for today. When we take, or after this break we're about to take, we're going to talk to Bill. He'll be here after a whirlwind tour of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Bobby as well. And that's all coming up. But before all that, Brian's song from Brian.
Brian's song. Oh, we love that one from that movie from the 70s. Anyway, all of Gale Sayers.
Yep.
That's all you remember. Yep. Anyway, hey, let's listen to a song from a rock band. These guys are actually going to be opening up for the Smashing Pumpkins as part of their World is a Vampire summer tour, which starts August 1st in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Ooh.
What? So these guys are going to be opening up for the Pumpkins, man. It's going to be great.
Nice.
Here is the band Rival Sons from their brand new album. Here's a track called Guillotine.
You know what you're going to see. closer to him. Oh, the deeper I go, it's harder to tell.
This video was developed to help you keep this in mind as you serve Mass, so that you serve well.
Your marble's gonna run off the track.
The Morning Stream. Do not confuse luck with skill.
Yeah, Yeah, right. We're back, everybody. Tell me who that was one more time, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's the band called Rival Sons. They have a brand new album coming out called Dark Fighter, and they're going on a couple tours. Like I said, starting in May, Oklahoma City, California, they're going to be doing their own tour, the Dark Fighter Tour, of course. And then on August 1st, they join the Smashing Pumpkins for their World is a Vampire Summer Tour. This album comes out June 2nd. That's the first single from it. It's called Guillotine. That was Rival Sons.
Nice. Sounds fantastic.
Yes.
I shall look forward to hearing it after the show today.
You should. Like it.
Yes, I think I will. I'm going to call Bill now, though.
Call Bill.
Yeah. It feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah. I can show Bill what I made. I made a statue. I made an award, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah, you 3D printed something.
I 3D printed.
You printed.
I've got sketches of a new thing I'm 3D printing, which,
What?
You can't see it, can you?
No, it's all washed out. Oh, shit.
It's washed out.
I can't wait to find out.
You'll never see it.
All right, well, let's do his intro.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
Hey, a guy I didn't know was so good at karaoke has arrived. Hello, Bill. How are you?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. It was so great hanging out with you and seeing you last week.
Oh, my goodness, right?
Yeah. So happy to have you there. That was amazing.
I had the time of my life in Vegas. Yeah. It hasn't even been a week yet. I've washed my clothes 3 times and they still have that Johnson stink.
Yeah, the Johnson stink. You don't want that. You really don't want that. You know what else I noticed is when we haven't talked about the escape room at all.
Hoping we could discuss that today.
Yeah, Bill was in there with that. And I got to say, if I was ever in an actual scenario where I was trapped in a submarine or whatever, and we had to figure out the puzzle to get out of there, I think Bill would be a good guy to have for 2 reasons. One,
sure,
it's just Bill and I like having friends around. But 2, he was so chill and like good at all that crap. You were like perfect partner in there. That was awesome.
Pretty good under pressure. Yeah. Even when it's bladder pressure.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Because they don't have a bath. Well, supposedly their bathroom was out. I think that bathroom was working and they were lying to us. But
it's a McDonald's ice cream machine, I'm telling you. They don't want to clean it, so they say it's broken. Yep. Yeah, that was funny because you had to pee something fierce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I really thought it was going to come to, like, you know, Bill's going to go in a bottle or some weird thing in the car.
Someone hold out their hands.
Yeah.
He was going to have to go off in the corner away from us, and then that would be the thing you'd remember from the escape room.
Yeah.
Gave us all those tanks. Could have just peed one of those.
Oh, yeah, dude. Exactly. Except you have to turn those upside down and put them on the puzzle to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been
bad.
There
were a couple toolboxes that he could have availed himself of, yes.
That was really fun, though. I couldn't think of it. Who most from TMS would I like to be in an escape room with? Brian's the obvious answer because he's really good at those, plus we're co-hosts here, but it's Bobby and Bill. Like,
yeah, I know, right?
These two biggest nerds about this sort of stuff, like, who would you rather be in there with? I don't even remember who else was there. Kim was there.
Tina, of course.
I mean,
Steph.
It was a star-studded team.
It really was. You really did get the best brains of TMS all in one place.
And the lady, the very nice lady at the end, said that we were better than average. We did good.
We did it in like 40-some-odd minutes.
Yeah. We finished with like 10, 12 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah, it was really fun. Highly recommend that place. It was called, except for their bathroom,
Escapology.
Escapology,
yeah.
And it's in the exact same retail center as the Player One place we went to later that week. Which Bill wasn't there for that, but the Player One arcade was literally like 3 stores down from the escape room, which is crazy.
Perfect.
Anyway, Bill, it's great to have you back. I'm glad you had a good time. What have you been up to? What are we talking about today?
Well, I mostly wanted to just talk about Meow Wolf. Mm-hmm. That was incredible.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to point out, I was curious. The first time I went to Las Vegas was for the New Media Expo in 2014. It was 9 years ago, January 2014.
Whoa.
And I am not like a Vegas guy specifically, but I have been back so many times since then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Been to Autodesk University 3 times. I've been to BattleBots and all sorts of stuff.
When do they when is that BattleBot stuff? Is it every year? So, they do it all.
Yeah. Last year it was filmed in the end of October. I'm not sure when they're going to film it again this year, but they do have a permanent BattleBots a thing you can go to in Vegas now. So you can go see bots smash each other.
I saw a tent put up across from like Luxor. Is that the one, or is it?
I'm not sure. The one that we went to was the Caesars Entertainment had a tent thing, kind of near the Flamingo.
Sure,
that's where we ended up seeing it.
That's cool. I always love when that comes around and you talk about BattleBots. Always fun on the show.
Yeah. So I had a ton of fun, and next year I definitely want to go to TMS Vegas, but I'm going to see if I can get Brittany and April and potentially some more Durans to go.
Oh, that'd be great. For sure.
Oh, my God. It'd be great to see Viking Lass again. Holy mackerel.
I haven't seen her in a long time. She was like 2011's like OG TMS super fan.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So having her back would be huge.
So I'm working on that. I got a year. Work on that.
All right, we'll plan on it. That's awesome. So Meow Wolf, let's get to that. This is your first time in there, I guess, right?
Yeah, I've been hearing about the whole Meow Wolf thing for years. There's one in New Mexico my aunt's been trying to get me to go to, and I just haven't been to New Mexico. But a bunch of people at TMS Vegas were like, hey, we're gonna go to this Meow Wolf Area 15 thing, let's go check it out. So the first thing I saw outside was a giant robot statue that's laying on its back. Mm-hmm. It's like 50 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I was able to 3D scan that with my phone.
Yeah.
I got a 3D model of it.
Polycam, right?
I used Polycam for that one.
God, right? I wish I would have done that with Vegas Vicky, because I wanted to 3D print a Vegas Vicky.
Oh, yeah.
And she's inside the Circa, and it would have been so perfect, because I was even telling Scott before we went out there, it's like, oh, I want to 3D print a Vegas Vicky and have our little versions of us sitting on there. I could use Polycam. I don't know why I didn't.
Oh, that would have been amazing. I'm going back in May, so maybe I'll remember to do that.
Yeah,
because I have
Polycam business.
Yeah,
I'm still I'm pretty good about it. I'm still trying to remember if I'm going to take a photo of something, I should think, can I 3D scan this? Mm-hmm. You know, and if the answer is yes, then I'm going to 3D scan it instead.
Yeah, no, that's great, dude. So did you? So that robot, by the way, you don't know this yet. Well, you kind of know, but I had you send me your scan of it. I have a very cool thing I'm making. Bill does a lot for us. He makes all kinds of shit. Mm-hmm. I've got one of the coolest like Mass Effect guns ever made because of Bill. Like he's given more than I've ever given back, so I'm gonna make him something rad, and that robot's in it, and that's all I'm gonna say. We'll show it to everybody next week when it's done, but you're gonna love it, I hope.
Very cool.
So cool. Yeah.
Anyway.
So Meow Wolf is this big company, almost like a collective of artists that do these weird art installations. They're kind of permanent big art installations. And the one in Vegas, the Omega Mart is really kind of the cool thing to go see. Mm-hmm. You got to pay a ticket to go in to go see the exhibit. And it starts with this shopping mart. It's like a grocery store. It looks exactly like a grocery store. Everything's perfect. It's like got this aesthetic for maybe the 50s or 60s. And all the products are really weird. Mm-hmm. Some of them are real. Some of them you can actually buy. But most of them are just really weird and silly. For example, there was a bunch of 2-liter bottles of soda that were labeled root beer flavored vape juice flavored root beer.
Whoa.
And that's like, that kind of joke is just right up my alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All this stuff had to be custom made. It's just wild.
Custom made and then mass produced, right? Yeah, so you have rows of boxes of I can't believe this doesn't contain spiders or whatever the breakfast cereal is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the Omega Mart, and that's that. You can spend hours just wandering around reading all the things there, checking out all the weird stuff. But then there's this whole other exhibit behind it, and the way to get there is through one of several secret passageways.
Mm-hmm.
Again, right up my alley. Mm-hmm. There's like a cooler in the grocery store for ice. You know, open this door to get some ice. You open it, there's a secret passageway. You go through there, and you end up in an area that's like a video game level. So there's like some weird stuff to explore and find.
Yeah.
There's this very sort of like tongue-in-cheek corporate, maybe Aperture Science kind of vibe to everything that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Each room has a weird thing to try out and check and enjoy. Lots of interactive stuff. I was really just blown away. I took so many photos. On my phone, I have like 3 selfies from the event and 500 photos from Meow Wolf.
You know, I ended up with some photos of you, too. I don't know how I did. I don't know where my phone was that I ended up with a bunch of pictures of Bill while I was stepped away from the table. Yeah,
forgot about that.
Very strange. Yeah, you don't know how those happen. It's just unexplainable phenomenon. Yeah.
Right.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I'm looking at some video and reminding myself.
It's another good reason for you guys to come to Denver, because we've got a Meow Wolf here, completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then one in Santa Fe, the original, the OG that George R. R. Martin funded, turned a bowling alley into this incredible art installation. And huge robots at the one in Santa Fe, too.
Oh, yeah, man. Big, so tall. Now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think that giant robot that's like embedded into the ground in Vegas is based on the standing one in Santa Fe.
I think so, too. Oh, like, cool. It's the lying down, decomposing version of the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Santa Fe. Oh, that's amazing. What I thought was so incredible, though, is like there's a lot of cool exhibits and everything, but tucked in every corner is just little art exhibits, little neat things that some artist made, and they're like, fine, we'll stick it in the exhibit. Mm-hmm. And because people are going to this thing, because it's a huge draw in Vegas, and there's a lot of other stuff to do in the building besides just this weird art, a lot of people who normally wouldn't seek out weird art get exposed to it, which I think is awesome. There's a lot of art out there that people aren't looking for because they don't know it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when you go to a thing like this, you get like this mega dose of it.
Yeah.
And you might see something that tickles your brain in a way that goes, I want to find more like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know people were making art like this. I want to find more stuff like this. So I highly recommend people go check out stuff like this if you're ever in an area that's got some sort of big, weird art exhibit or even an art show. Go check it out, because you don't know the things that are going to connect with you, and you're never going to find it if you keep looking at normal art.
Yeah,
that's true.
Are they always permanent installations, Brian, or are they they have a touring version or anything? Or
no, okay. No, they're all three are permanent installations, and then two in Texas, I thought for sure. Wow. Oh, where's the next place they're going to put it? Portland, Seattle.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to be the most logical place for a Meow Wolf. But no, two in Texas, which. Neither of them are Austin either, which is the other weird part. Because, like, all right, well, they're putting them in Texas. Oh, it must be Austin because Austin's weird.
Yeah.
And this is weird and it fits perfectly.
Yeah, Austin is weird.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Of all the things you can say,
Orlando, I could see one in. You know, like, Orlando would probably be a good place.
Yeah. But, Sam, these are so popular. I imagine these are going to just keep expanding. They'll keep doing it.
I think
it.
So, too. Yeah.
And I think Salt Lake should get one. We've got a perfect art scene here that would just, mm-hmm. this would fit right in. And become a regular thing. If they can do it in Denver, damn it, we can do it here. All right?
Sure, sure. Yes.
Did you do the game thing, like the almost escape room game type deal while you were there?
I did not.
No?
Yeah, there's a whole mystery and puzzle and stuff you can really explore. I was kind of, I knew, as soon as I stepped in the door, I was like, okay, I need to come back with Britt and April. Mm-hmm. This is so our jam. So I was really on a fact-finding mission. It was like being in a video game. You know how you explore a video game level and you try and make sure you look for everything so that you don't miss any grenades or whatever, right?
Right.
It was like that. I was trying to make sure I saw everything. And it felt like, you know how you go in a video game and there's a fork? And you go, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to go to the right, so I'm going to go left.
Yeah, I want to see what they've hidden over here in the left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it felt like exploring that place.
Huh.
I think my opinion on that, and this is just my opinion, but with each of the Meow Wolves, go in the first time without doing the boop card, explore, get, you know, figure out all the stuff you're supposed to see, because the benefit of the boop card is that it takes you through almost every room because you've got something to see and do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh great, I'm gonna explore, I'm gonna get all this cool stuff and see it. And then the next time you go, you get the card, and then it's like, oh my god, I never even saw this area, or never looked closely at this, or whatever, and allow a lot more time to do the game.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll definitely be back.
Yeah, the guys who did the folks who did the game this time around in Vegas completed it, and the game master, the writer of the games, the designer of the game at Meow Wolf, came out and gave them extra, like, DLC, gave them extra content to do to complete.
Oh, wild.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. Definitely worth checking out if you're in Vegas, for sure. It's mm-hmm. it's not even hard to find. It's also, that whole place is cool. The entire area 15 mm-hmm. is cool.
There's this great burlesque whiskey tasting carnival thing there, and this
there's a VR bird thing. You can lay down and flap your arms like a bird in VR. I didn't get to try that, but it looks fun.
Yeah,
and I think next year Scott and I are going to do the platform that flies up in the air that you eat dinner on, where like a server gives you food in a harness.
Oh my
lord! I think that's going to be next year for Scott and me.
Oh, I heard about that, the harness food thing.
Yeah,
I can't. I'm going to have to work my brain up for that.
Well, you're in a harness too. You're harnessed in.
There's everyone's nothing. Harnessed, right? You're all
everybody's harnessed. But the server is like. I don't think they've got a thing they're standing on. I think they're zipping around like Tinkerbell, giving you delivering food, refilling your drinks or whatever. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, definitely, and worth checking out if you live near one of these, or if you're out of town for any other reason, and there's one in that town, go see it.
Mm-hmm. Or just keep an eye out for any weird art. If you see a thing, you're like, that looks kind of neat, but it's kind of weird. Give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. Why not?
Yeah.
Cool. Bill, as always, fun to talk to you. Do you have a bonus link for us this week? What's going on?
I do. My friend David Picciuto on the YouTube channel makes something. This is in the YouTube chat there.
Yeah. Did it work?
I don't think
I need. I may have to give you mod status. Hey, type anything in there, and I'll do that for you real quick.
There you go. And you can also, if you can, put it in our Discord chat and I'll copy it.
I'm learning how to use Discord. I use Discord a lot while we were in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's a crash course in Discord at TMS Vegas for sure.
All right. You're now a mod, so you can paste, I think.
Oh, anyway. Awesome. Yeah. So my buddy David over at Make Something, YouTube channel Make Something, he took an old Magna Doodle. I had one of these as a kid.
Oh yeah, dude. Love these.
Little magnet thing for drawing stuff, and he upcycled it with like hardwood and stuff. He made a really nice Magna Doodle.
Oh, no way. I have Vans uses one of these right now when he comes over to the house. He loves drawing on these. You can still get them.
Yeah.
But this is crazy. Are you kidding me? What?
Look at this thing.
Yeah.
I love Giant. That.
Oh man.
Look, it's got doors, Brian. You can open the doors.
It's a wall, like a piece of art you'd put on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. All right. That guy's awesome. Love him.
Yeah.
And look, he's one of us. He's like a combo of me and you. He's got kind of my white beard and your bald head.
And my bald head. And an earring that neither of us has. And earrings that neither of us have.
Yeah, and Bill's skill.
And Bill's skill.
Yeah. Bill's skill.
He's Voltron TMS.
That's right. He's finally come together in the perfect form. This is great. As always, check out punishedprops.com, of course, and Punished Props on YouTube. Bill, always a pleasure to have you here, man. Good to see you the last week and can't wait to talk to you again.
You bet, friend. See you next week.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye now. I don't know why I said it that way. Bye now.
Bye now.
I'm like I'm telling someone to buy
operators
now.
Operators are standing by.
Yeah. That is kind of what that was. All right, Bobby incoming. He is no stranger to Tuesdays.
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah, comes in here a lot.
He and Tuesdays go way back.
Yeah, way back to when way back to when he first did the Tuesday, I guess.
All right, exactly.
And his segment sounds like this.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
The soup does look good, and Bobby is here once again joining us for a science segment. Bobby, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah. How are you? My skin has rehydrated.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask. You come from the land of everything's wet all the time.
And, right, yeah.
Land of perma-moist.
Yeah.
I pretty much had chapstick in my hand the entire trip in Vegas. Yeah.
Wow. Did it help you? Did you feel like chapstick came through
for you? I still ended up with cracked, crusty lips by the time we were done, but... Yeah. But once I got out of the plane in the Carolinas, it was like my skin just
sucked it up
all the moisture in the air.
Yeah. It's weird that if you grow up in an area like that and then you experience a dry climate, it really does have this immediate effect. But I can tell you that Kim her skin's never gotten used to it. She still has to hydrate like a wild person up here.
Yeah.
Because her Mississippi skin just still like... gasping for moisture. Well, you know, I'm like a dirty old rock out here. Nothing nothing bugs me. But I go to Mississippi and I feel like I'm gonna drown.
Well, I feel like I'm gonna drown most days here too. I don't like the humidity. I just
you live with it.
You know.
You live with it.
I guess
you've
I need
come
it.
To accept it.
Yeah, you've come to accept what your fate is in this world.
Yeah.
I was shocked, you know, Bobby renounced science while we were there in Vegas. He
turns out.
Yeah, he had such a great run with Craps yep. that signs went out the door and luck and superstition took over. Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is, I'm announcing it now that instead on Tuesdays, instead of talking about science, I'm going to talk about all the little things you need to get exactly right to win at craps. Mm. There's a I know the table you got to be at. You got to order a gin and tonic. It's got to be from that waitress. You got to be wearing the right clothes.
You drink from the straw on the right side of the glass.
Yeah. I'll tell you because
and
because
Claire can't sit down and play is the other.
That's the other distraction.
Oh yeah, that's it. Once Claire sat down, it was this is going the wrong direction, and I left.
It was game over. So your first time with craps. Though just let's look at that from the eyes of a science focused person like you. It probably is a game where you know about all the house edge and all this stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But you're still that process is still you going, how can I master this thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And it's funny. I chatted a little bit with Wendy about this at breakfast one day after I did play craps. It was my first time playing craps, my first time gambling at a casino, period, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I know how the brain works. I got a degree in experimental psychology. I studied how all this is supposed to, stimulus response and all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I knew going in, did all the, to do the things that you're supposed to do. I had a set amount of money. That's all I was going to spend. I put it in. Once I was out, I was going to be out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to win and make some money, and that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fortunately, I had Brian teaching me how the rules work, but I think more importantly for the fact, because I put $50 in and I walked away with $300, so
that's really good. That's really good.
I don't think I would have walked away with that much if Mitsula hadn't been there. And because he kept reminding me and giving me advice, he was like, okay, you're at 150, you had put 50 in, but now what you got to do is set your floor at $50. Mm-hmm. He was like, that way, now you're betting only on house money. You're not spending. So if you get down to $50, just walk away. That's your new bottom. And every time I would make some money, he'd remind me, okay, adjust that floor now. Make sure, and that's the way to do it.
It's a new floor, and you do a floor and a new ceiling, right? Or a ceiling, right? So basically, it's like, if I get to 200, now my floor is going to be 150, and I'm
exactly.
Gonna stop.
It's like you're working in between this floor and ceiling, right? And,
exactly. Yeah.
But and that's the way to do it to make sure that that's what I did. I got to a certain point. I was at like $375 or something like that, and I said, okay, my new floor is 300. Then Claire joined the game. And I got down to 300.
Drop like a rock. Yeah. Yep. Wow. Yep. But still, walking away with money that you didn't have when you got there, it's a good feeling.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, it was exciting. So this is what I was talking to Wendy about, right? Mm-hmm. Is that I did all that. I made all the right choices. I got up and I joked while we were playing that I'm hot now. And everybody, I know what I'm doing. I made all the jokes, but walked away just fine.
Sure.
Yep. And that was a fun experience going up to the cashier and cashing in and getting $100 bills. That was really fun.
Yeah.
But went to bed and woke up the next day, and I had just thrown the money on the nightstand. It was late. I was tired. So I woke up and I get in the shower, gather up stuff off the end table, the nightstand, and I saw the $100 bills there.
Yeah.
And I'm not joking. I literally picked it up and said to myself, and this was a serious thought that I had. Uh-huh. I said, I could probably do that again.
Yep. Oh, no.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how you get started.
As soon as I had that thought, that very serious thought, I shook my head and I was like, oh God, what am I doing? And that's just such a testament to how addictive gambling can be. I guess you just have to make sure you have, that you're in the right mindset, you set rules for yourself and you always stick to them and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that's the thing I've always liked about Brian's gambling methods is that he's always got a plan, is always a plan when to get out of there. Yeah. He's not a guy that's going to be there at four on his last leg, maxed a credit card out this weekend.
I'm going to get it back. I'm working back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's the, that floor ceiling thing is just such the key. It's just basically saying, okay, all right, I'm up. Now my ceiling's a little higher and my floor raises up with it. And so I want to, you know.
But also importantly, don't go in. That's the thing that shocked me the most about what I said to, thought to myself real quick, that I could do this again, is that I think the most important thing is these rules you set for yourself are not rules to make money.
Right.
Mm,
right.
No.
They are rules to make sure you don't spend more than you were going to, because you really should just be going in and expecting to have fun. Expect to lose it all.
Right.
Yes. Don't put it, don't bet anything that you're not okay with losing, because you're going to lose.
Yeah. You're going to lose. Yeah. Basically, the money is spent the second I take it out of my wallet and put it in the machine. It's like, oh, if I get anything back, that's great. But I'm paying for the entertainment for however long this lasts in here. And there have been times, like, I don't go up to, we have a gambling town maybe about half an hour away from me into the mountains called Blackhawk in Central City.
Yeah.
And there have been times that I went up there, put my $200 on the craps table, and rolled, got up to 400, set my new ceiling as 350 and 450, basically, dropped down to 350. And I'd only been there for half an hour and was like, well, took me half an hour to drive here, but I'm pulling my money now, because that was my floor and I got to resist the urge to say, but I spent all that time getting up here. I should at least keep playing.
Yeah. Sure, that's when you start having thoughts like that, you're in the dangerous
territory.
That's
when you lose money. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And, so, and I can already guarantee you that when we go next year, it was a fun, craps is legitimately a fun game.
No, it's
so
really
fun. I know I'll play it again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know already that when I go and when I lose money, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because the first time I played, I won.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So it's going to be about fighting that urge to be like, oh man, I lost this money. Maybe I should just try again, you know? And you have to make sure you don't. It's just you have to, oh my gosh. The first time you make an exception, you're done. You should never play again.
It's almost better if the first time you play, you lose, because it's like, okay, this is what'll happen. Yeah, that was the other thing. Like we talked about the, you know, here's the pass line, here's the come bets, here's this bet, you take your odds, blah, blah, blah. But I also kept saying, it's rarely ever like this. You're rarely going to have an experience.
I appreciated that. Really did appreciate that, because I kind of, it being the first experience that I had, I kind of thought like, well, is this game just easy? But you and Mitsula both kept making the point, this is really unusual that
exactly. because
it wasn't just me winning, you were winning. Like, it's actually not a surprise that the both of us were winning, because I was using the same strategy as you were, right? Because you showed me what to do. But that's unusual. It's very unusual.
The next thing is then teaching y'all how to do it at the table, because it's not a matter of just saying, all right, well, I'm going to put my money there and I'm going to put my money there and I'm going to put my money there, because the guy on the other side of the table, the casino employee, will slap your hands if you do that. You basically have to set it in front of you and say, give me the 8, give me the 6, put this on that. The only ones you can really put your money into yourself are the pass line and the come line or the come area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this, I was going to ask you that very question, Bobby, now that you've had your taste here on the digital version, did you feel like at all like, man, I'd really prefer a table, because I feel like these machines, like there's always a sense that the machines could be a little more advantageous for the house. Like, how do you really know that they're not rolling?
I don't have any
weird
thoughts like that about which one's advantageous versus another one. I would imagine that it's just all random. Right. But I do want to try playing. So I really appreciate, I think playing where we played at this, what was it, the stadium craps you called
it? Stadium gambling, basically.
Where stadium gambling, where we were all sitting there together. That was fun, and I would like to do that again, because it's just, you're all just hanging out together.
And you can't get as loud and rowdy and crazy as like that at the tables. You got to have a little bit of decorum. Not a lot, because you can still yell and cheer and be goofy at the tables, but
yeah. But I would like to try at the tables, because there's a whole, I was reading a little bit about the rules, because now that I had a taste, I wanted to better understand. It's still a confusing game how you bet, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But so I was reading a little bit about it, and there's all these other things like how when, you know, people are rolling the dice at an actual craps table, and, you know, there's rules about when the dice get passed, who mm-hmm. should be doing what. There's like multiple people.
What you
people
can do
run
with the dice. Like if you, basically there's a plane created by the outside of the craps table and the dice cannot leave that plane. You can't pick up the dice and say, all right, because, you know, they want the dice to stay above the table. You can only use one hand. You can't put the dice in two hands and do that.
Yeah.
And you will watch the most superstitious people like,
that's
not
why
just,
I really want to go.
It's fascinating. Like they have to do this thing where they put the dice, you know, Barry will set the dice in a certain way, and he does that not out of superstition, but just out of like habit. But there are people who do it, and it takes like a minute for them to set the dice the way they want before they pick it up and throw it.
Mm. Yeah.
And you get people with notepads who write down every roll of the dice, thinking that there's some reason for that.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Yeah, just like when you're playing at the stadium gambling, it tells you on the different bets how many rolls has it's been since the last time that was rolled, and that's like basically just like it's non-information. Like it doesn't matter.
Exactly. It's there to make people think, oh, a seven hasn't come up in a long time. This is the time to play the game.
Yeah. I like the big fat physical dice. And I'm guessing that obviously that would be so much easier just to have a little digital dice roller, but I think that's what people would be weird about. They want to see dice roll and physically move around so that they're like, okay, well that's real dice. This isn't just some computer foolery or whatever. And I like that. I thought that was cool. It had a little nipple camera that looked down on it.
Yeah.
And it was like a pop. What was that old board game as kids? A pop-it game?
It was Trouble. Pop-O-Matic Trouble. Yeah, exactly like Pop-O-Matic Trouble.
Love that. So cool. I picture a little dude in there doing it, though. Like a little person. Yeah, just like pushing on it, like doing this and taking a break, smoking, you know, and then do it again.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Absolutely. Well, good job, Bobby. Well done with your take. You took the casino for all they had. Nice job.
Nicely done, sir.
I think they had a lot more than that, but
I was trying really, really hard.
Yeah. Well done. Anything else you wanted to cover today? You got any?
I mean, you know, I was gonna talk a bit about jet lag, but we can talk about that next week because I wanted to thank September for the karaoke night that she put together. I thought that was a fantastic one of the highlights of the week, and then it was just. It was just a really fun time. You know what I noticed the most was that when I got there and I saw everyone, it felt like it had been just yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really weird. It was really weird how that feels. As soon as I saw people that I was like, oh, yeah, right. And then even new people, like, I don't know, when I first saw Claire and she freaked out like a banshee and ran up and hugged us or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just remember thinking, oh, yeah, of course, this is right. This is exactly how it's supposed to be. This is how my greeting from Claire was supposed to go. My only regret about this or any other event ever, including all the Nerdtaculars, all of it, I can't stand it when I hear that somebody was there that was there for the first time. And for whatever reason, we never crossed paths and I didn't get to talk to him. I freaking hate that. So,
and I thought about that. It's like, I don't want to have to do some sort of structured receiving line kind of thing. You know, I don't want to say, all right, everybody has to walk by Scott and I, because, you know, if you're nervous, we want to make sure we spend the same amount of time with everybody.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I totally understand there are people who go there and they're nervous and it's like, oh man, I, even though Scott and I were just these dudes.
No, you know? we're nervous dudes too. And the other thing is we were like, I always do look for somebody off to the side. I'm like, wait, have I met them? Maybe not. Let's go talk to them. So I try.
Yeah.
But I just, there's always somebody I miss and I hate that feeling. So if any of you were those people that we missed somehow, hopefully it wasn't many of you, just know we would never do that on purpose. And B, next time we'll make sure we'll do better. All right. Cause I always feel bad and I hope you still had a great time no matter what.
For sure.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Bobby, it was great having you, of course. And
thank you very much.
Now
also,
that he's home,
Phil, I wanted to thank everyone for that.
It was great, right?
Very, very fun. So,
well, thank you. Thanks for being part of it. It was you brought a lot to it, and your word palace might be tied for my favorite things to come out of Taskville this year.
It was one of the most amazing, freaking weird, like, techniques I'd ever witnessed. You blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you made it three-fourths of the way around the board with that, yeah. Which was great.
Yeah, just by memory. And it was because you didn't get to film it, TV's Travis has the sole privilege of being able to. he was the one who was walking with me while I was memorizing it all, and that was just a fantastically fun time. Yeah. Trying to come up with a story to memorize the entire. I don't know much about Vegas, so all of those properties even are just like I have no connection to them.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, a lot of them aren't even around anymore, too. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah,
so,
where's my board down here? Oh, I left it upstairs. We should show people the board because it's actually kind of classic and awesome. I got one of them. Yeah, that was awesome. Well, Bobby, it's always good to talk to you. Tell me about All Around Science. What you guys are talking about now that you're home and all that. What are you doing?
All Around Science, the episode that just went out yesterday. Who knows what it's about? I edited it like 2.5 weeks ago. You should check it out, whatever it's about. it just came out. And I know that tonight we're going to be talking about, I want to start talking about logical fallacies and errors in thinking more often in our podcast. Mm-hmm. And so to the episode that we're recording tonight, and this episode will come out next week, is going to be all about what's called the appeal to nature fallacy.
Ooh.
And how just because it's natural doesn't mean that it's good. But so many people think that that's true. And I probably am going to talk more about logical fallacies and cognitive biases a lot more on the show going on in the future.
Oh, nice. That's a topic I really enjoy. I will check these out for sure.
Yeah.
It's Bobby Frankenberger, everybody. You know him, you love him, and you'll see him next week right here on the show. Bobby, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. All right. How do I hang up on this without it being a problem? Let's try it.
He's already out.
No, I know, but so I don't lose you. There we go.
Oh, okay. I don't see the same thing you do. I just see us back to being the two of us in Discord. So I'm like, oh, what are you trying to do? Because
It's this whole window, this extra window that I could probably just minimize and ignore.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I could probably ignore it, but I do it with both Tom and him. And just about half the time, it resets our call, which doesn't make any sense. Anyway, there it is. There it goes. That's the show. There it goes.
Watch it as it goes.
Watch it as it goes. It just left. And if you want to watch it again, I got good news. So something I wanted to mention about the new YouTube streamy thing. So we're still on YouTube streaming. It's been going great so far. I think we're going to hang around here unless there's some magical reason why I shouldn't. Frogpants.tv still takes you to the live show. All right. So if you're trying to get there, that still resolves to the live show. It used to be Twitch. Now it's over here on YouTube. Now here's the thing. Some of you on our Patreon were like, well, I really love the extra content top and bottom of the show, like our pre-show and post-show, which is what we give patrons. If you're a live watcher, you show up here and you happen to see that too because you're here live, so you get some of that pre-show and post-show as well. What I used to do was delete that version of it and re-upload a show that is just start to finish normal show so that we're not giving away patron stuff for free. Mm-hmm. And on Twitch, you could get around that because the VODs were just there and you could go watch the whole thing. So. Right. The new thing is this. When we're done here, the live stream goes unlisted, and we still upload a public version of the show for all the world to see, but the unlisted one will go back to patrons as a special link that no one else gets, and you guys can have all of it, including chat replay, all the post and pre, all that stuff. I've already mentioned this on the Patreon, so they've already heard this, but in case you missed it, gotcha. Or otherwise were curious, or just want to join Patreon to get it, that's where that's all going. Okay,
that's cool. Yeah, yeah. No, that I was wondering how that all worked. So that's very cool.
It's working out pretty well. And also, speaking of patrons, I haven't mentioned their names in a while, but we got a bunch of new people that have shown up.
Oh, bunch of them! Holy cow! Yeah.
So here are these names: Bat Dan, John Baker, John Rollins, Craig Carlson, Chris Schultz, Dave Spangler, Durog. Just Durog. That's all I got.
Durog.
Durog. You are without Durog. Honor.
Son of Moog.
That's right. Jeff Jones, Zach Grasham, Conrad D. Orthwain might be correct. And Elvish Link also joined us. Anyway, if you want to be one of these fine people and get no commercials ever, pre-show content every day, couch parties on the weekend. We're going to finish Vegas vacation on Friday. That'll be fun. Art in the Mail, other great monthly benefits. Go check it out. That's patreon.com/TMS. Let's get out of here. Play some music, Brian, before my ears complain.
Okay. I've got some music to play for you, Scott. This one is going out to Andrew Lyons. This is timely, even though he requested this back on the 26th of last month, right? So it was a few days ago. Hey, Schooner and Bo Rider. I don't really have a good reason for this request other than liking these covers. Ooh, how about commemorating the 25th month since the Evergreen managed to get stuck in the Suez Canal?
Oh.
Yeah, that'll work. Okay. Both of these songs are about maritime mishaps, so the theme matches pretty well. I'm a bit of an everything fan when it comes to music, and that includes bluegrass. Punch Brothers are hands down my favorite bluegrass group, and their covers of Another New World by Josh Ritter and Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, originally by Gordon Lightfoot, are both excellent. Love the show, though. Arborist Andrew.
Nice.
Well, naturally, because we lost Gordon Lightfoot yesterday, passed away.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, passed away. I don't know how old, but...
Must have been very old, right?
I think he's very old, yeah. I mean, because when I was 8, I got a little plastic suitcase turntable. It was red. Outside was white. You opened it up and the turntable inside was red.
Sorry, my thing went nuts. Sorry, go ahead.
Got this plastic turntable and a stack of about 8 45 RPM, you know, little 45 singles.
Yeah.
And The Who Behind Blue Eyes was in there. And Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died. And then another one was Sundown by Gordon Lightfoot. And I played the crap out of that thing. It was something about his voice that was just so soothing.
Yeah.
84 is how old.
Oh, Gordon that's Lightfoot pretty good. Was. That's pretty good.
So naturally, the song I chose is Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, performed here by Punch Brothers. This is from their 2022 album, Hell on Church Street. Just came out last year, and it's great. Here are the Punch Brothers and Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitchigumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship in true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. And later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? Wires made a tattletale sound and a wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck, saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed ya. At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know ya. The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good shipping crew was in peril. And later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They might have
and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, the Bibier sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams, the islands and bays are for sportsmen. And further below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. And the iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November, remember. In a musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa down of the big lake they call Gitchigumi. Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Hello, Cursed Earth Pizza.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.